The first night, packed house. Don't come in 2 days. You'll be very disappointed. Sunday night, and we're starting Perek Nara Marasa Nedarim, and with the words Nara Hamurasa Aviyu Bailo Mefira Nedareha. So that's already a mouthful, and that really is going to take up the whole shiur. Okay, what are we talking about? A person has a koach to make Nedarim. Okay, it's interesting. So there's one pasuk that starts off the parsha in Parshas Matos that says a person has a koach to make nedarim, and bal yachel devaro, and we learn out from there the implication that chachamim could be matir neder through she'ela, through charata. There's a whole system. Then there's, I don't know, 10 psukim, 20 psukim, the whole parsha of nedarim talks about a concept called hafara, where the Torah says that a girl makes a neder, and a daughter, a girl, and the father could be mefer the neder. Mefer, you might recognize the lashon mefer, and it's a strange word to use. Mutter, we understand. We know what the word means. Maybe we don't know how it works because we didn't learn the third parak together. Hataras nadarim, we don't know how it works exactly, perhaps. But al kaponim, we're familiar with the word mutter. Mufar, and the Gemara at the end of the parak we're learning, parak Nara Marasa, says that the words are chosen very carefully. And if a baal would say mutter lechi, it would not be chal, his hafara. And if a chacham would say mufar, if a baal would say mutter lechi, or if a chacham or three chachamim would say mufar lechi, would not be good. So the words were chosen very carefully. Hafara is a funny word, because the word hafara that we are familiar with, if we're familiar with the word, is always talking about the breaking of a bris, as brisi hefar. You may fear an understanding you have with someone. You abrogate something. So we'll be talking about that just conceptually. Conceptually, what koach did the Torah give the father, and what koach did the Torah give the husband? I mean, you know, why can't you say he has the koach to be mater haneder, to say it's mutter, or to destroy haneder, to cancel haneder? Like, abrogate is a funny word, so we have to talk about that, and we will. I'm pointing out that hefer is an interesting word. Okay, you'll say. And then you say, well, what does matir mean? The chacham's not really matir the neder. I mean, he's not matir the iser. Okay, he's matir the neder. He says, well, not really matir the neder. He says it's not a neder. It's a neder tolus. Right? That's how the chacham works. He has the ability to say it's not a neder. It's a neder tolus. So, like, why is that called matir the neder? That's also, okay, we have to see about that. Like, then you realize that the word matir is not so simple. We know what it means, but does it really fit? Okay, so we'll put that aside. Now, the way the Torah, so you say, okay, a father has a koach to be mefer the nether of his daughter. Now, first of all, just to realize, that's not nogea when the daughter's a minor. Ktana ha-nedarim ha-natchal. Al Pitoro, when a girl is a bogeres, once she's 12 and a half, derech klal, usually she's, I don't know what the opposite of a minor is. You say a major? I don't know if you say a major. Never figured that out. She's a completely independent person, and the father has no rights to her. The Torah system is that a father has no rights in a son, no monetary rights. A son is a male, is a person, and he has no rights to him. But the Rabbanon, maybe he gets Metziah Saben Lo, the Mishnah Baba Metziah. But the Diraisa, certainly there's no concept that a son is in the father's Rishus. But a girl is in the father's Rishus. Now that has ramifications. It has ramifications of Maisa Yodayim. It has ramifications he can sell her for an Oma, which to us sounds very weird. He gets a Maisi Yadayim, he gets a Metziah, he can be Makadisha to whoever he wants. There's a concept that she's in his Rishus. Now, that in itself, really, we could go off on a tangent and talk about that. That the Torah, in the Torah's worldview, a female is always in someone's rishus, really. Because when she's a ketana, she's in the father's rishus. And when she, even when she's a naira, she's in the father's rishus. We learn now from Sukkim. And by then she hits bogeres, which is 12 and a half, which is a girl has three stages, not two. A boy is cotton or gadol. A girl goes through an intermediary stage, a pashtus for 6 months, where she's a gadola in terms of mitzvahs and in terms of das. She's a gadola, she's bas mitzvah. But she's not independent yet. She's still in the father's rishus. Until she's a bogeres, which is only 6 months later. 12 and a half, she's independent, so she's free. But really, if you know, if you learn Gemaras, she's supposed to be married then. Then she's supposed to get married. If you're Bulgarian and not married, there's something wrong. Shidduch crisis. So really, I mean, in the Torah's sociological view, this is my opinion, it seems to me, it's not practical nowadays. We get married, the girls get married much, much later. And no one's selling their daughters. And no one's being Mekadosh their daughters when they're Ketanim. But the Torah's, like, so in the sociology of the Torah, a female's always hooked up with a male. She's never alone. She's never alone, conceptually we're talking. You can always have cases where she's alone. But she's always Bershus somebody. She's either Bershus the Ov, or she's Bershus the Baal. Okay. What?
Well, that's not.
She could be Atzma, but it's not normal. Like, she really, the Torah expects her to be married then. Okay, I'm saying there's always a case where she's Batzma, which is Bershus Atzma. But that's why Rashi says, Leo's Bershus Alinose Liacher, which is Makabal again, Rashi in Kedushin Dav Beis. That's why he puts it in such a funny way. Leo's Bershus, she's in her own Rishus. Okay, so Nara, It's apparent from many sugyas and shas that we won't be learning Rada. Maybe it'll be alluded to once or twice, but that, say, okay, the Torah said the father could be made for the nether, or the husband could be made for the nether. So you could say, okay, he has a right to do that. He has a schus to abrogate her nether. But it's clear from sugyas and shas that it's a more fundamental idea, and that is that she is Bershus of the father legabe haforas nadorim. It's not stam, she's like an independent person, and the father has a right. The Torah could have given the right to Shmerel to be made for her nadorim. The Torah gave it to the father. No, she's Bershus the father, and the Gemara, in fact, many times in Shas wants to extrapolate from the din of the Hataras Nadarim is like one of the most explicit parshios in the Torah. The Gemara says that a girl is considered Bershus of the father, and the Gemara wants to extrapolate and learn out maybe Maisi Adayim or Kiddushin, learn out Legabi other dinim in the Torah that a girl is Bershus the father. Bershus is like it's a reality. Maybe it's not momentous like this pen is in my rishus, or the kesher between a wife and a husband, where the wife is birshus to husband, he's koneha, veisha niknes labayla. So, and she's said to be birshus of the baal. That's not a momentistic, it's not a financial type of relationship. That's why it's called a kinyan ishus. The kinyan is a kinyan ishus. She's birshuso. The father, I never saw the word kinyan used with the daughter, but that's for sure. The daughter is Bershuso legabe maisi adayim, legabe haforas nadorim, legabe being mekadisha. In other words, it's not just a right that he has, but she's Bershuso legabe that. And we'll see, there are ramifications to that. Like I say, the Gemara wants to extrapolate from that. Okay, now a ketana is Bershuso the father. A bulgaris is independent, completely independent.
But there shouldn't be such a case of a bulgaris.
I'm saying that's my sociological comment is that in the Gemara, and even in terms of the physical changes that a woman undergoes, puberty, and she becomes mature, you see she's supposed to be married already and be having kids. Like, that's how her body reflects that. So there was a report now that girls as early as 8 years old, 7, 8, are starting to, but our kaponim, you see the ability to have a child starts when she's a gadola. And then you see in the Gemara, like a bulgarian that was unmarried was a shidduch crisis. Okay. So we're talking about a nara. So the the Rishonim speak out, we'll have it in the first round, that you say, well, why are we talking about a naira? Well, a ketana's nadorim are not nadorim, so it's not nogeya. But it really is nogeya, if you're familiar with the din of muflas omuflaish, that there's a year before a person's a gadol, he can make nadorim, he or she can make nadorim. In other words, a katan that's 12 years old, when a katan is 12, he's in his 13th year. You gotta watch out. The Rishonim say it the right way. They call him sometimes, he's in his 13th year. You can get mixed up. When you're 12, you then start your 13th year. So when you're bar mitzvah, you're starting your 14th year. So a katan who's in his 13th year, who's what we call 12 years old, is can make nadarim. You have to check out if he knows exactly what he's doing, if he's familiar, if he knows what he's doing, okay, and a ketana. So the din of the Mishnah, even the din of the Mishnah doesn't say that a father could be made for nadarim for a daughter. That's not nogeya only a naira, it's nogeya ketana too, in her last year of katnus. Naira, in fact, is a chiddush because she's really a gedola, but we learn out from the parsha of nadarim, and we extrapolate it to other parshas like kiddushin, the ability of a father to be mekadosh his daughter, that even a naira for those 6 months, she's still bereshus of the father. Again, you know, if you think about it, like the Torah is giving a transition period, mamish, for a girl, giving a transition period. She's a gedola, but she's not independent yet. It's 6 months. We're giving her 6 months to get used to the idea that she's going to be independent of the father. Okay. So that's nara. So the Mishnah could have been talking about a ketana too, in the 11th, in her 12th year. Okay. Now, if you look at the parsha of the Dorim and the Torah, I'm just trying to, so. It's very weird. It's like there's three sets of psukim talking about hafaras nadarim. The first one's talking about a father. Very clearly talking about a father. The father can be made for nadarim. By the way, he can only be made for it biyom shamo. And it's very confusing. Like, it's hard to imagine. But biyom shamo doesn't mean he heard the neder. It means he heard about the neder. And he could have heard about the neder 6 months later. And that's called Biyom Shamo, when he heard about the Neder. And the Torah gave him the right to be made for the Neder, Biyom Shamo, on the day he heard about it. This is Machlokas later on in the Perek, if that means 24 hours, or if it means until Shkia, of the day he heard about it. And if he heard about it a minute before Shkia, too bad, he has 1 minute to be made for. This is Machlokas Tanoa. So the first parsha is that a woman makes a Neder, and she's Bevesa Viha, and Binureha. This is really the granddaddy pasuk to call a Torah kula, that even a naira is birshus aviha, and again you have to realize, I'm not saying it's a chiddush, but you have to realize it's a point. It's not stam the father has a schus to do something. Anytime if I say you have a schus to do something, your mind right away should ask yourself, does that mean it's in my rishus? Legabe that schus, or is there such a thing that the Torah just gave me a right to do something? You know, the Gemara in the Dorim, we're learning the Dorim. The Gemara in the Dorim in the fifth parak, talks about that I can sell you something and give you the right. I'm only selling it to you that you have the right to sell it to someone else. Right? Now, you have a schus to sell it. Now, you don't even own it. You could sell the item. You can't. You don't have to just sell the schus to sell it. All you have in the chayfetz is the schus to sell it. But you can sell the item. Now, is the item in your rishus to sell it? That's what you have to ask yourself. Can a schus exist independently without saying the thing is in my rishus, in my domain? There's a concept of rishus in the Torah. Okay, so here...
What's the nafkamina?
The nafkamina is whether you can extrapolate. If you see she's in his rishus l'gavim nedarim, would that teach you? Let's say you see in the Torah that even though the Gemara wants to learn out from the Darim that even though she's a Gedola, she's still in the Rishus of the father. Because you see Beveis Aviyah Ben Urela. She's a Naira, and she's still Beveis Aviyah in the Rishus of the father, and he can be made for the Nedarim. The Gemara takes this word Ben Urela very literally, that she's a Naira. Naira's a Gedola. And from there the Gemara wants to extrapolate that maybe her Maisi Adayim should belong to him. Maybe. Maybe he could still be Makadosh, because Beis Aviyah Ben Urela. That's like a phrase that comes to me throughout Shas, that a Naira is Bershus the father. Even a Naira, not just a Katana. Then it says you could be made for Hanadar, the father. Then there's another Parsha that talks about a husband and says the husband could be made for the Nadar. And then you sort of do a double take, because then there's a third parsha after a break of one pasuk that again talks about the husband. So you don't know exactly what's going on. What do you need a whole set of pasukim for? So if you look carefully, the third parsha talks about Beis Isha. She's in the house of her husband. Beis Isha, that's married. She's married. A married woman is Beis Isha. That's what we're coming to the second word now. The Gemara will learn out that the second parsha is talking about a mu'urasa. A mu'urasa. Now, Erisin is a very interesting stage. I talked about it by the Hagdama, first day of El. Kiddushin is really a chiddush of the Torah and of Jews. The Goyim stole it a little and talk about an engagement. But it's a little dangerous because Mu'urasa, Mukudeshes, is an Eishes Ish. And if someone has relations with her, he's Chayav Misa. She's considered an Eishes Ish. But she's not yet in the Rishus of the husband. See? So now, when you talk about Mu'urasa, which is the word Erisin, terrible, terrible, terrible Hebrew, modern Hebrew, Ivrit, terrible. They call it an Erisin, terrible word. If you want to join my campaign, a petition, change the word. She's not Mu'ureses, Chas V'Sholom. If you would say she's Mu'ureses, it would be a Shaila Shavya Nafshei Hatita D'Isura. If you give her a present and say, oh, Zeh Erisin Shalonu, big problem. You have to go to a big rabbi to say that you don't need a get, if you say that when you give her a present. It's okay, the rabbi will say it's okay. But that's the minig hamokom, that Erisin doesn't mean Erisin anymore. But it's not so posh. You look in the Gemara Kiddushin, that Mukudeshes, Mu'ureses might be objective words that it, okay, anyway, so the Torah made up, so to speak, a concept called Kiddushin. The Rambam says like this in the beginning of the Chasidus, before the Matan Torah, a guy would go over to a woman and says, hey, you want to get married? Say, yeah, let's get married. She moves into his house and they get married. Very good, they're married. She's in his house, she's in his rishus, they're married. There's a Rambam, not in Hilchus Ishus, but it's in Hilchus Melachim, I think, where it's clear that the way they got divorced was that he threw out of the house. That's all. She left the house, or she threw him out of the house. They weren't together in the same house anymore. That was divorce. Marriage was were together in the same house. She was in his Rishus. She was in his Rishus. When that Rishus dissipated, not if she went on an overnight trip somewhere, but if she left the house or he left the house, it's over. That was divorce. It says the Rambam, the Torah was machadesh kinyan. The Torah was machadesh that before you marry a woman, you have to be koneh. And that's called kiddushin or erisin, and it's sometimes called kinyan. If you want to know, by me it's part of the philosophical idea is mamish as commitment. In other words, in the system before Matan Torah, the way the Rambam puts it, and the way it is by the Goyim, because the Goyim don't have a concept of Kiddushin. You're living together, and then you man and wife, and that's marriage. That's the goyim's marriage, that they're together in the same house, living as man and wife. But like, there's no real commitment, because tomorrow they could leave. If you leave the house, that's the divorce. If you leave the house, al das, I'm gone. The Torah, and that's why it's called Kiddushin, because it wants to sanctify marriage. And you sanctify marriage by saying, it's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's a commitment. This is my understanding of the Rambam. You have to commit. Now, how do you commit? You commit with a kinyan. Because when you make a kinyan on something, then even if she moves out of the house, if I have a kinyan on this cup, and you steal it from me, so it's no longer in my house, but it's still mine, because I have a kinyan. And that's the famous memory of Rabbi Yochanan reflects this, that gezel v'lo nesiyashu habaylim, if you steal something from me, and I wasn't miyash, so we both can't be makdashit. I can't be makdashit because it's not pershusi. But I still have a kinyan. And the ganav can't be makdashit because ain't a shalom. So you see, in kinyan of possessions, there's two things. There's the things in my rishus. That's like the practical ownership, you might want to call it. I don't even want to call it ownership. We have a lawyer here. I would call it possession. Possession, not ownership. Ownership is kinyan. Possession is, it's in my rishus. Who possesses it? My rishus is possession. That's birshuso. Kinyan is ownership, because that's like a legalistic idea. It's legal. And even if you steal it from me, so you took possession of the item, but I own it. I'm the legal owner. And that's shali, that's kinyan. So that's the way it is by Mamanus. And I said the best place it's reflected is by Rabbi Yochanan's din. He says, Zelefi Shaina Shalom, Zelefi Shaina Bershuso. So the Torah made the same system by marriage. Really, it's a tremendous thing. It said, marriage, you're in his house today, you're in his house tomorrow, you're not in his house. That's not a way to be married, right? The way we want people to be married, and I think it's Kiddushin, it sanctifies the marriage through commitment. Commitment means it's a kinyan. Now, if you throw her out of the house, she, so to speak, like she's still konoi to you. There's still a kinyan. You can't just break the bond by changing the reality, meaning she's not in the house anymore. That's how the goyim get divorced. But this kinyan, so this kinyan, so now you need a get. So get is, if you remember the Loshon Kedushin of the Beis Min Aleph, get is a kone asatzma. I make a kinyan, it's like I give her back to herself. That's why it's called the kone asatzma, because get is also a kinyan. It's like I bought something from you and now I'm selling it back to you. So it's a kinyan. Akoponim erisin is a kinyan. Is a kinyan, but they're not really, they're not married. I don't like, Art Scroll uses the word marriage. I don't like the word. They don't want to use the word engaged, because engaged conjures up what the goyim call engaged. Now really, engaged is not a bad word, because engaged is a commitment. What's the difference if you're a boyfriend and girlfriend and you say, okay, what happens when you get engaged? It means you made a commitment to each other to get married. That's what I understand the word engaged means. We're engaged to be married. It means we made a commitment to each other that we're going to be married. Till now we talked about it, we thought about it, we could have even decided to do it, but then, so I think it's a good word. It's just that by the goyim, engagement is not a kinyan. So you could break it tomorrow also. We broke our engagement. So, and you don't need a get, because nothing was chal. So it's also like a fly-by-night thing. It doesn't mean anything. It's like you gave your word. So the truth is, you're not supposed to be chayiv if you give your word either, but unfortunately broken engagements are, in our circles, treated as not such a big deal. I mean, by the Hasidim it's a much bigger deal. They would rather get married and divorced than break an engagement. I think engagement is a good word. It's problematic, because what it's come to mean is you're not legally man and wife. But in the Torah's view, I think, so the Art Scroll uses marriage for Kiddushin, which I don't like, because marriage is when she's Bebeis Baila, she's in his Rishus. She moved into his house. Bimbeis Isha Nadora, she's in her house. They don't know, so they just say marriage. And then they say there's no English equivalent. I like the word engaged. It's just you have to realize that there's a, it's a league that in the Torah of you, when you're engaged, then it's chal, and it makes you an Eishes Ish. It's
like Asus around the whole world.
And Asus are in the whole world. Right. So it has an effect of Eishes Ish, and you need a get. So it's a heavy, heavy commitment. But you still don't have the Bepoil Dikka Rishus. Because you didn't move into the house. And that's what it, right? There's no head to be yet. Like she has no chiyuvim to you. She doesn't have to cook supper for you. She doesn't have to do your laundry. Relations are also still. Because she's still Bebeis Ha'av, not Bebeis Habal. Now, when a woman gets married, even if she's a katana, so she's now in the rishus of the husband, and the father's rishus is gone. She's a nesua, she's birshus haba'al, and she's no longer birshus ha'av. Even if she gets divorced, there's a strange Rashi somewhere in Kiddusha, somewhere, but we won't go into it. But the pashtus is, and that's even Rashi was chayzer also, that once she's nesua, it's over, and if she gets divorced now, or if her husband died, she does not revert back to the rishus of the
she's
as a katana, and she is called a yosoma b'chaye ha'av. That's the famous yosoma b'chaye ha'av. The father's alive, but she is a yosoma because she's independent as a katana. But a katana who's mu'uresses, certainly in the rishus of the father. Even a manaira is mu'urasa. Who gets Maisi Adayim? The father. It's still the father. There's nothing that took her out of the rishus of the father yet. She's mu'uresses to the arus, but she's not in his rishus yet because she's not married. In the parsha of the Dorim, there's a mufla dik achidish. That's nowhere else in the whole Torah. That Anara mu'urasa, avia ubaila mefirin adoreha. Especially if you say, if you want to assume that what I said is true, that it's not just a schus to be mefer. When you could be mefer nadorim, it means she's in your rishus legabe aforas nadorim. So if the Torah is mezake the orus to be mefer the nadorim of a woman, whether she's a ketana in her 12th year or a naira, if the Torah gave the orus a schus that together with the baal, together with the Av, that Mefer Nedorah, Nara Hamurasa, and it could have said Katana too, if it would be in the 12th year of her life, the Ran speaks out, all the Rishonim speak it out, Lavdavka Naira, just most of the time a Katana's Nedorah is nothing, but in that last year it is something, Hamurasa, she's not yet married, she's only Mu'urasa, Avia Ubaila Mefer Nedorah. The Gemara will learn out the Psukim that the second parsha in the Torah, in Parshas Matos, the first parsha says the father could be made for an adorim. Talking about a regular girl, a daughter. The third parsha says the husband could. Now the second parsha also says the husband could. But the third parsha starts off with the words, the im beis isha nadara. And the second parsha doesn't start off with those words. It starts off with the words, the im hoyo siya la'ish. So you may recognize that Havoya, Hoyo Viya, is a lotion that denotes Kiddushin. The Yotzav Ahoysel Yashacher, Makesh Havaya Liyatsiya. The word Havoya is used, it's like so perfect. The word Havoya is like used to denote Kiddushin. The Im Beis Isha Nadara is used to denote Nesuin, Beis Isha. Im Beis Isha Nadara. So here the Torah was machadesh. The Torah was machadesh that the orus has rights in the naira, in his arusa. He doesn't have any other rights. He doesn't have maisi yadayim. He doesn't have a chi of mezonos. She has no shibudim to him. He has no shibudim to her. Her maisi yadayim are not his. Nothing. Except for the dorm. The Gemara will talk about that. The Gemara calls it. It's, you shouldn't think, okay, maybe here the Torah Taka just gave him a schus to be Mayfair. She's Taka not in his rishus. Because it's Taka a little weird. Like she's only in his rishus Lagabi Nadorim. Like she's not in his rishus Lagabi anything else. But it's not Beis Isha. Not, So that's what the Torah is machadish, that she's in the reshus of the earth, l'gabi nedor. The Gemara uses that idea regarding certain things with limudim, that regarding the nedorim, she's a little, there's already a shtickle yitziah out of, this is how the Gemara describes it. It's a little yitziah out of the reshus of the father into the reshus of the Baal, of the Orus. Because the Torah says they're made for it together. And again, the Torah doesn't just give you schusim. Usually not. Usually when it gives you a schus, it means the thing is in your reshus, legabe this schus. So, how all the psukim work out, because if you learn the second parsha, you don't mention of the father, it just says the husband. So the Gemara already deals with that at length in the sugya and the Samach Zayinim at Bay. It's a very boring sugya. People don't like to learn psukim. That's just Torah. They're looking for a lomdishu machlekes Rashba Ramban. You learn a Gemara that takes you through the psukim and tells you how to learn up the psukim. You go, okay, come on, can we skip this? Let's skip this. So I don't know, but one day we'll learn Sifra. We'll close the Gemaras and we'll learn Sifra. And you'll see how Chazal learned up psukim. And that's like real, real Kishka's Torah Shabbal Peh. The Gemara is not so much Torah Shabbal Peh, so to speak. I mean, the more intense. I mean, the more heavy Torah Shabbal Peh is in Sifra, where you really see how Alpin Yud Gimel Midos, they took a pasuk apart, put it back together, and saw all the things in the wording of the pasuk. All the drushes are in Sifra and Mechilta and Sifri. The Gemara is not so many drushes. It has drushes, but it's usually bringing down the Sifra or the Sifri. But the Gemara is svaras, logical questions back and forth. That's really more, Gemara is more logic and questions and tushtels and stiras and kashas. And that's Gemara. The Sifra is really more intensely Torah Shabbal Peh in the sense of darshaning psukim. One day we'll stop here.